flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
High noon here on WEEI. It's Jones and Keefe. It's Tommy Tuesday. We'll get to Curran in a moment. One text, Keith, is a correction. It was not Frank Drebin umpiring that game. It was Enrico Palazzo.
Good point. Yep. Absolutely correct.
Gotcha on that one.
Yep.
So big scandal out of Major League Baseball. We can circle back to that. We'll get back to the Patriots and team building this hour. What can they learn from the Chiefs and the Eagles in the Super Bowl? Plus, we'll get you a Kiefer Madness at 12:45. But as promised, it's Tommy Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here. What's going on, Tom?
What's up, my friends? How are you?
Very good.
We're doing wonderful. You're down in New Orleans. I know it's early in the week. Maybe it's tough to get a feel for this early on in the week. But what sort of buzz, if any, are the Patriots generating in the football world? I remember asking you this a year ago. You were comparing it to like the Carolina Panthers of the world and teams like that. Where are they in terms of buzz at this Super Bowl?
Yeah, unfortunately, they remain afterthought status, but at least the thought that is given to them is one of, hey, Vrabel might be able to get you guys headed in the right direction, huh? Which is generally spoken to you by, you know, fellow beat writers and media people around the country. They know you're from Boston, and they have a just tangential interest in your team and say, well, Vrabel should make it a little bit better, yes, dot, dot, dot. And I think that that's generally the vibe around the team. We just spoke to Thomas Dimitroff this morning, and that'll be on the Patriots Talk podcast later today. But he basically said, look, and he interviewed for Tennessee and New York Jets general manager position, so he's got still a very good, solid feeling on the league. And he acknowledged, look, the roster's bad, but if you have the coach and the quarterback, things can change rapidly. Just a lot depends on free agency and how many of those things you can fix or at least have an answer on position-wise. So you don't go into the draft saying, oh, my God, we have to get this person in the draft. And I think that's kind of what they did last year when you look at the Caden Wallace and Layden Robinson. They went into the draft trying to draft second- and third-round picks to start, and they couldn't do it.
Where do you what's your overall thought on the coaching staff at this point? It seems like every couple of days they seem to add somebody new, a lot of guys with connections to Mike Vrabel, and then also Josh McDaniels. So how do you view the staff to this point?
Still same. I mean, what was the problem last year? It was inexperience. It was a lack of a cohesive vision, I think, that was well articulated. And I think that's going away. So if the most recent problem was inexperience and a lack of a vision, at least among the coaching staff and the direction of the team, the biggest problem is talent. And you then go out and address that with experience, with what appears to be what will be a cohesive answer to the problems with a coordinator in Josh McDaniels who is able to tailor stuff to the player because he's got so much experience as opposed to saying, here, Drake, we're going to do this. I can't help but say there's nothing negative about the group that I can really come up with. And I would have said that if you asked me in December, or January, right after the hiring. What do you think of Mike Vrabel? I said, or even prior, you know, before Vrabel was hired, what does this coaching staff need to be? And I would have said experienced and able to meet its players halfway and set standards that I think too many players were ignoring over the course of 2024, but years prior to.
And I agree with that. Like the experience on this staff is a good problem to have if it's a problem at all compared to a year ago. McDaniels does feel like an outlier on the staff, though, in his lack of connections to Mike Vrabel as a coach. I know he was a coach when Vrabel was a player in New England, but outside of that tie, it's not like they've worked together on coaching staffs before. The further we go along, at least to me, he feels like an outlier on the staff. Is that a fair way to characterize it?
Yeah, I do. I think that's definitely a fair way to characterize it, and I think that the next question would then be, is this Mike's choice, or were the Patriots and ownership pushing him towards this decision? And it is a logical question. You know, I still think it's the best candidate. I would rather see him than, say, for instance, Nick Caley. And I think you and I might differ on that. But to me, the position they're in and situation they're in, I think they need experience. They're so friggin' bad at the wide receiver and offensive line positions that they need somebody who can stand in front of those rooms and hold people accountable. And I think Josh can do that. So it was phrased perfectly, I think, by Phil Perry. If Vrabel got the job at Chicago, was Josh going to be his offensive coordinator? And one would wonder if that would have been the case. And also, too, I think – I don't know if Josh would have wanted to go to Chicago. I think he wanted to stay local with New England and a franchise that he was comfortable with in a place he was comfortable with. He's been in two different places with Vegas most recently and Denver at two different junctures of his life. And I think he would like some just football right now.
All right, two big-time players likely to be traded, Tom. Let's take them case by case. Myles Garrett and Cooper Kupp. What kind of chances do you think the Patriots have of getting either guy? Would they be willing to offer what it would take to get those guys and or pay them what it would take?
I'd say low chances on both because being post-30, both of them are going to want to go to a situation where they have an opportunity to win quickly. And talked to Mike Florio today about this. Can the Patriots present a case right now that allows them to say, hey, we have a vision here. We're going to be good in short order. And you are, if you're a player, you're buying on spec to come to the New England Patriots. Will Myles Garrett get his way? It's obviously a far different situation than Kupp's because he's one of the best players in the NFL and he carries a massive amount of money. And he would, to me, be worthy of considering giving up the fourth overall pick for. I would give up the fourth overall pick for Myles Garrett. If he was willing to come to New England and you could put the structure of the trade in place for each team, like say Myles Garrett says, I'll go to this team, that team, that team, that team. And the Patriots were able to put a structure together. I would include the fourth overall pick for him and not bat an eye about paying him because he is that good. Cooper Kupp, to me, that's a third or fourth round pick, more likely a fourth, because you have to give up, you have to pay a ton of money when he gets here because he's got a fat contract still.
Whether it's Garrett or anybody else, and I know you've been detailing some of this with Phil Perry at NBC Sports Boston, it's Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Whether it's Garrett or anybody else, how open do you think they would be to the idea of moving the fourth overall pick for someone like that?
I don't know. I don't know how they view the draft right now. I don't know how they view this group in terms of what will immediately yield a fix. Like, if it's Will Campbell, awesome. He'll probably seems like a 10-year starter. You know, he's smart as hell. He's young. He's only going to get bigger and stronger. Abdul Carter, defensive ends and edge players can be dice rolls. He does not fit the profile of the best edge players who've come in, Aiden Hutchinson, for instance, and rattle off a few more for me, if you could, the recent year's edge rushers.
Garrett,
obviously, yeah, 2017. So I don't know if Abdul Carter is that. I don't think he's Micah Parsons either. So I would move that pick because I don't think you're going to get a generational talent. I don't think that generational talent really exists in every draft just by the nature of the friggin' phrase. They're not all the time. So this is a pedestrian draft. I'd give up four for a player like Garrett, sure. And I think that the Patriots, if they're realistically looking at it, or you could say, we can't do that. We would be better off trading down from 4 and adding players because our pockets are empty. You know, moving and gaining more picks to get more talent. But there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, I guess.
Obviously, it's a lot easier to clean house with the coaching staff than it is to clean house with the roster. But how much roster turnover do you expect? Because I still go back to the line that Mike Vrabel had in his opening press conference when he was asked, like, what kind of players are you looking for? And he was like, good players, which they don't have a ton of. So I know Elliott Wolf last year, first year post-Bill, like, re-signed every guy that was on the team the year before. I'm wondering how Vrabel looks at it and, you know, whether that means trades or surprise cuts or whatever else. How different could the roster look next year?
It could look very different, but you have to have somebody behind these guys to get better with. For instance, and I think Kyle Duggar, a lot of it was traceable to injury. Or Ramondre Stevenson, yeah. Let's take those two instances. I would bet on Kyle Duggar being a player that you could continue to have as part of your core and carry over from Mike Vrabel. Ramondre Stevenson, he makes a lot of money. And, you know, he was outplayed for stretches by Antonio Gibson. He was certainly outplayed in 2023 by Ezekiel Elliott. Elliott was the better back for the Patriots. So I look at those contracts as being ones that you would focus on if you're the Patriots. But you can't throw everybody overboard just because you don't like the cut of their jib. Sometimes it takes a moment because you have to trot and field a team out there. And again, why did they re-sign so many of their own players? Because free agency sucked last year. And I think if you look at free agency year in, year out, oftentimes it kind of sucks. You have to do it via trade more often than not now because players sign big-ass contracts, they stay with their teams, and then like Cooper Kupp, that contract becomes obsolete. So you have to figure out a way to get those players who might not hit free agency when teams say, okay, it was nice while it lasted.
You hearing anything on Dante Scarnecchia and involvement with the Patriots this year?
The person I reached out to and asked about it said, really? That'd be good, I guess. But, I'll reach out to Dante at some point and double check with him and see what his intentions are. But it would be a boon to have his knowledge in there. But I haven't heard anything specifically, no. Wolf.
What about the game?
Wolf?
Tom, what about the game on Sunday? Obviously, Patriots fans have a certain feeling about it with the Chiefs trying to do something that no team, including the Patriots, has ever been able to do. But what kind of just overall juice, buzz, et cetera, do you have for the game on Sunday?
I think the more you really look at the game and what and the details of the two teams, look, the sideline advantage goes to Kansas City. The quarterback advantage goes to Kansas City. But everything else goes to Philadelphia, in my mind. They have the best defense in the NFL and by a lot of measures. They have a running game and ground game that had the Buffalo Bills continued to try and exploit the ground attack during the AFC Championship game, it's kind of veering away from it. They'd probably be here right now. You have the best rushing attack in the league with Philadelphia. You have a quarterback who can run. I really feel like Philadelphia should win the game. And the only reason that you wouldn't say they will win the game is because of Patrick Mahomes. So I'm going to say my leaning is towards the Eagles winning this one.
Oh, interesting. I thought you were going to say the refs would be one reason why maybe you'd pick Kansas City.
Well, you go on.
Is that a problematic story? I asked you about this a couple of weeks ago. Like, does the NFL have a Chiefs problem? You know, Goodell's getting asked about it. Kelsey's joking about it. Chiefs ownership is talking about it. Like, is that a distraction for the league? Is that a problem for the league with that such a large discussion going into a Super Bowl with the backdrop of, well, Terry Rozier is suspended for gambling in the NBA and a Major League Baseball umpire just got dismissed? Like, how problematic is that for the league?
It should be. I mean, it was less than a decade ago that Roger Goodell was being asked about gambling and affiliating with casinos and online work. And he said, you know, we can't do that because then that will cast aspersions on our outcomes, fixed or scripted. So to act, you know, a decade later, like, my God, how could you ever think that, is so beyond comprehension and just defies logic. But that's how they operate. That's how the highest reaches of society, it seems, operates. My God, that would never happen. Then you ask them about it. My God, we would never consider such a thing. It's just, it's, you know, they'll tell you one thing adamantly, and then when it comes to pass that they're on the other side, they can't comprehend being questioned about it. So that's what I think we're watching. But yeah, that's the backdrop of the Kansas City Chiefs getting favorable calls. The human nature element of officiating that people prefer and should prefer to an extent, instead of making it completely automated, is going to err on the side of, well, if Patrick Mahomes gets drilled, I'm going to notice it more than if, you know, Aiden O'Connell gets drilled. You know, Aiden O'Connell gets drilled in, hey, he probably put himself in a bad spot. Patrick Mahomes, those guys are trying to take him out. Mm-hmm. It's just, that's the human nature aspect of it. The Chiefs, we watched it this year with the Patriots. You don't get calls when you're a crap team. You just don't. So,
You've been to a lot of Super Bowls, Tom. Where would you rank New Orleans as a host city in sight?
Everybody loves New Orleans Super Bowls because of Bourbon Street and the vibe of the town and the music. I like convenience and cleanliness. I liked Indianapolis.
Oh, nice. Did not expect that.
Everything was just smushed right in there.
All right. Midwest guy.
Like that.
Huh.
Yeah. They said the Royal Rumble in Indianapolis.
Huh.
Lucas Oil.
Yeah, good, of course they did.
You love the combine. You must love the combine is what you love. So where? So New Orleans, anything else ahead of New Orleans? Indy, anything else ahead of New Orleans?
I like Arizona, too. Clean. Warm. Hmm. Easy to navigate.
Golf.
Yep.
Yeah, golf.
Arizona
is,
and Indianapolis.
Golf is factored in there somewhere, I'm sure,
that?
As well.
Can at least get to a Topgolf, yeah.
That's true. Settle a debate for us here, Tom. It was very heated earlier today. We were tearing off Super Bowl snacks. Do you like a bone-in wing or a bone-out, boneless wing?
Bone-in, as long as it's a flat. Yeah. I am not big on the yeah, I've come around on that. Used to just like the drummies, but now I'm just so. Those if you're not going to give me
those
flat,
are the messiest ones. The flat, like with
I like
the,
them both.
That's the messiest.
I like a mix.
Guess.
I like a nice mixture.
Huh.
It's but
good
it's
though.
All meat there. It's all meat.
That's
sometimes
right.
You're going to get a little bit of gristle and tendon when you get into the leg.
Yeah,
also true.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
I hadn't considered it that way. Tommy Curran, you can check out his work all Super Bowl week live from New Orleans on NBC Sports Boston. Quick Slants tonight. Check him out on Twitter as well, at Tom E. Curran. Tom, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Tommy Tuesday.
Thank you, boys. Have a great week.
Thank you, Tom.
Right. Tom E. Curran joining us from the Super Bowl in New Orleans. The tears have gotten a lot of flack.
People are mad, and it's no surprise because you guys put tendies over wings. And so now, like, wings are the ultimate Super Bowl snack, and yet we have them on the second tier, and so now we're just getting ridiculed.
Well, there's
that's what that.
That
is. That's what there, that is.
Hang on.
Shime's all fired up.
Z on Twitter.
Z?
At Jones and Keefe.
Okay.
At Jones WEEI at Keefe21. Cheese and crackers is the second tier. Are you people toddlers?
Well, if you got some good cheeses, we're not just talking about like a slice of American out of like the package
right.
And like a Ritz cracker.
This is also specifically for the Super Bowl. Like
yeah.
Most days of the year, you line up a cheese board.
Yeah,
and pizza. Yeah, I'm probably eating the pizza.
Shime used to like that. We used to call him charcuterie Shime.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. He'd always be whipping up charcuterie boards.
He'd respond to that.
Oh yeah, olives. Nice. He's got little pepperoni on there, salamis.
He would rave about his NFL combine charcuterie.
Little mini pickle.
You could do a little gherkin.
Call that the Santo. So I
want to eat a charcuterie board.
Careful.
Yeah.
Only
on my anniversary. So, personally, somebody says I'd rank pizza in the top tier. Pizza is not a super, that's not a Super Bowl snack. That's a meal. That's not a Super Bowl snack.
No, pizza, just for foods, is a goat food.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is.
That's not what we're ranking.
Right.
We're not just ranking the greatest foods. These are snacks for the Super Bowl.
People have a hard time with this.
Daniel also suggested, this might have been an oversight, because this is a Super Bowl snack in my mind.
What do you got?
Where's beer?
Well, I mean, that's just always
what's
above
kind of,
what's
yeah,
high,
right.
What's
like higher
than
they've
goat.
Just known that it's there.
I know we didn't do drinks, but I guess like you could be like, oh, I'm not hungry anymore, but
also
I'll have
not
like
special to the Super Bowl, like the same pizza argument.
Yeah, but it makes the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but beer's not like a snack, is it? I mean, some of my heavy double IPAs, I guess, are like a meal.
I can make that a snack.
You need a fork.
Checked out on beer once I got rid of the Bud Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. They got to bring that back.
I'm telling you, that's like it's like a Joe Camel kind of thing.
Don't sleep on the Bud Ice.
Is that his name? Joe Camel?
Yeah, Joe Camel.
Yeah,
moving kinda, smokes.
Yeah, like kids were like, oh, these beers are awesome.
Sleep on the Bud Ice Penguin. Remember?
I don't even
think they make Bud Ice anymore.
So was that Penguin before or after Billy Madison?
Oh.
Was that like...
I don't think it was a correlation. I think it was before.
Yeah, it's a different kind of penguin, though. The penguin in Billy Madison is like a big penguin.
Yeah, he was hallucinating that penguin.
Was the Bud Penguin not a giant penguin?
No.
Just like a little mini?
Just a standard penguin.
Was it? Like a normal size.
No,
like,
I thought that was a
rockhopper or emperor penguin. Yeah.
Yeah, like the kinds you could see at the Boston Aquarium.
Yeah, when you walk in, there's a bunch of rockhoppers, right?
Well, it's really just a bunch of penguin poop everywhere. It stinks is what it is. But yeah, there's rockhoppers in there.
They bob around. They swim. They have a nice time. They make all kinds of noise. Yeah.
So more feedback on our tiered off Super Bowl snacks. A lot of hate. I got the people talking, Keith.
People are not happy with this.
It's up now at
people
Jones.
Hate it.
People hate lists.
On Twitter and Instagram, you can interact on the phone lines as well. We'll get you a key for madness at 12:45. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, let's look at the Chiefs and the Eagles. What lessons can the Patriots have in terms of team building related to these two rosters? That's next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Bruins and Celtics return to action tonight. The Bees will wrap up a three-game homestand against the Minnesota Wild. Head coach Joe Sacco said that Jeremy Swayman will get the start in net. Mark Kastelic is in. Cole Koepke is out. Puck drop at the TD Garden tonight is at 7 o'clock. The Seas close out a three-game road trip against the Cavaliers in Cleveland tonight. Celtics are on a three-game winning streak. The Cavs are on a four-game winning streak. Tip-off at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse is at 7:30. And men's beanpot action last night, BU beat Harvard 7-1. BC beat Northeastern 8-2. Number one-ranked Boston College will face number eight-ranked Boston University in the beanpot final next Monday at the Garden. Major League Baseball has fired umpire Pat Hoberg for sharing legal sports betting accounts with someone that bet on baseball. Hoberg is also accused of intentionally deleting messages that were key to the investigation. Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp has been told by the team that they will try to trade him in the offseason. In 12 games last season, Kupp made 67 catches for 710 yards and 6 touchdowns. And this Sunday, the Chiefs will face the Eagles in Super Bowl 59. Kickoff is at 6:30, and Westwood One's pregame coverage will begin at 2 o'clock right here on 93.7. Enjoy this Sunday's game while dropping with Awaken 180. Wings, meatballs, drinks, all on the menu. Results for life. Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Now, that comment in there about going from Cleveland to Canton is what Browns general manager Andrew Berry has said, that there would be no stops in between, that he intended for Myles Garrett to be drafted a Cleveland Brown and to end his career as a Cleveland Brown. That has been the stance of the organization. Go back to the trading deadline. We reported that teams were interested in possibly trading for Garrett, and the Browns were adamant they were not going to trade him. They would not entertain offers, and they didn't at the time. My understanding is, despite this statement, the Browns are sticking to their stance, and they do not intend to have any conversations or trade Garrett.
How's Mike Garafolo yesterday? Browns don't intend to trade Myles Garrett. I disagree. I'd expect him to get dealt. Whether or not it's to New England, I have no idea. I thought it was interesting. Curran was like, yeah, I'd trade the fourth pick for Myles Garrett.
Yeah, really was. And kind of spoke more to he thinks it's a bad draft. And so that's fine. I think that does sort of help push that along.
That to me would be the logic. And I know him and Phil have detailed some other names, Micah Parsons among them.
Yep.
That to me would be the logic. Like, okay, it's not a great draft. So would you rather pick at four, or would you, or is this the year to move a pick like number four for an established guy? And I understand that logic. Maybe you like Travis Hunter more than I do. Maybe you love Abdul Carter. You know, who else is really in the mix for the number one pick beyond the quarterbacks? I think that's kind of the list. So if it's a down draft, is this the year to tap out? I think that would be Curran's logic, and I understand that to a degree. And I think Myles Garrett, if you really want to get into the conversation about how do you build your team like the Eagles and the Chiefs, I think you build it along the offensive and defensive line. And
big
Garrett,
hogs.
Garrett, I really do think it's that way. I think that's kind of a boring you know, discussion point. And I think a lot of people fall back onto that. Like, it's just this it's this thing you say because no one's going to push back. Oh, you got to build along the lines. Oh, you win with defense. These cliches that you hear in sports.
Yeah.
I think now that you have your quarterback, I'm a little more open to that. And I would acknowledge, you look at the Chiefs and the way they play defense and the pass rush they generate, and some of that might be schematic for Spagnuolo. You look at the Eagles and the investments they've made on the D-line. Same thing with the offensive line. And the Chiefs was more free agency. The Eagles are more draft when it comes to the O-line. I look at that and I say, okay, I mean, you really want to build your team like those teams build it? That's probably where you start. I just think that's a long process, and you got to be patient. And I don't know that I'm patient enough to do it.
And if you get Myles Garrett, I think defensively on the front, you're not as far away as offensively. So if you get somebody like Garrett, because they weren't good stopping the run last year. There were plenty of times when they got carved up on the run. But if you put Garrett there, and then let's say hypothetically Barmore plays close to a full season, and you know Godchow's back, and like maybe you have and Keon White, like suddenly that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Because you have one of the best players on defense, adding him to that mix. Whereas the offensive line, even if you take best Haas available, say you trade down from 4 to 8, are you still a ways away?
Yeah.
Right. Like where are you really there? Like they have a lot of needs. And that's why I think the trading down conversation comes into play, because then you're taking a few swings at it. Maybe there's somebody in free agency. I don't know, as bad as free agency might be. But it seems like the offensive line, there's no quick fix there to all of a sudden be really good.
You think there's merit to, let's say you take Abdul Carter at 4, moving away from Garrett for a moment. Take Abdul Carter at 4, he falls to you. Is there merit to, all right, let's get him and spend on another big ticket free agent, Josh Sweat, somebody like that? Is there merit to that, or is it better to go, all right, we already got our pass rusher, we'll put all the eggs in that basket with Abdul Carter, and now let's go sign a big-ticket O-lineman? Like, is it better to double-dip and really over-invest at one spot and try to really fix it, or a more balanced approach?
I'd probably go more balanced, just because I think the coaches across the board are obviously better this year, so they should be able to take whatever talent they have and kind of coach it up a little bit. But offensively, between wide receivers and the offensive line is probably the skill, or probably just the position groups that are the worst right now. And so if you double up on defensive line, so your number 4 pick is your best asset right now. And then if you spend a ton of money, right, that's the other kind of asset that you have. Maybe you'll have a great defense, but I'm kind of hoping, like with Terrell Jennings, who coached D-line before, and with Mike Vrabel, like I'm hoping your defense is already going to be a little bit better. You need to give the offensive guys, McDaniels and Marrone, something to work with. I'm not going to be like, hey, it's another year of you coaching up Deontay Jacobs and, you know, Laydon Wallace and all these guys. Like, they need as much help as they can get.
So, looking at some of the texts, and I'd probably go more balanced, too.
Yeah.
The issue is, if you whiff on Abdul Carter, now you've made no real improvements defensively.
Right.
And I hear what Curran's saying. You hope he's Micah Parsons, but he's not the prototype from a height-weight standpoint, edge guy. But you don't have to be necessarily in today's NFL. Text at 617-779-7937. You guys build this year and next year on the O-line and then get wide receivers and guys at the end of their contracts or in between free agent years.
The tricky thing with that is you're then paying $25 million, let's call it, for a wide receiver at the time you're going to have to pay Drake May $50 million or whatever the money's going to be in 4 years.
I mean, how long do we think Vrabel has to build it up? I mean, he's going to get longer than Mayo, I think, unless it's a complete disaster year.
Yeah, and I feel like the chances of that are pretty slim.
Me too.
So, a minimum 2 years.
But am I going to not punt on a year, but just have another year where you slowly rebuild it and slightly improve? Then the heat will really be on him next year. So if I'm Vrabel, I'm trying to kick the door down right away. They should be able to do that if they draft well and invest in free agency. They should be able to be knocking on the door for a playoff spot next year. And so I'm just not trying to slow play anything and take my time with it. Again, I'm not patient enough for that. That might be the best thing long term for the organization. If I'm Vrabel, I don't have time to wait around. This is my second job. This is my shot. This is the job I chose. We have the quarterback. So it's time to go. I also see the text about wide receiver. And I know that was kind of your takeaway from looking at the Eagles, how they swung and missed on Rager and still went and double and triple dipped at the wide receiver position to make sure they got that right.
And I think with Jalen Hurts too, now he's a great runner, and you know, this year in particular, like he's running in a bunch of touchdowns and they add Saquon Barkley. But a couple of years ago too, when he got to the Super Bowl, I think a part of it was people didn't know what kind of thrower Jalen Hurts was going to be, similar to Josh Allen. Not that he didn't have the arm strength, but people wondered about the accuracy. They wondered about all the issues that he had. And then Steph Diggs helped kind of unlock him, much the same way I think Jalen Hurts, once he had A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith to throw to, that was like a real game changer for him. And I think that's what Drake May also desperately needs. Like, if you get him a guy or two, you know, to get greedy, I would love him to have two. But even if you get him a guy, that changes things. Because so many times this year, you just wonder how much better his game could have looked if he had anybody with, like, run after catchability or anybody that wouldn't just give the ball to the other team or anybody that would run the correct route or things like that. Because we thought he had a pretty good year as is. But I don't know if any of those guys actually, like, helped him.
No.
Like, he had all, like, below-average wide receivers.
No, I think he raised those guys up compared to Jacoby Brissett.
And that was with a junk O-line.
Correct.
So I'm not saying don't improve the O-line, but I just think a big-time receiver can go the route of, like, Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, Steph Diggs with those young quarterbacks who all had questions. In fact, Drake May, after year one, is already viewed upon much higher than Tua, Jalen Hurts, and even Josh Allen after year one.
Yeah.
Like, if you go back to it, people were not sure if Josh Allen was how good he was going to be.
He's a Pro Bowler, Keith.
No, yeah, right. Drake May was.
Yes,
yeah.
Drake May is a Pro Bowler.
So, yeah, that can all go out the window because so was, like, I think Vince Young and Mac Jones and, like, all that stuff. But at least right now, he's viewed a lot higher and he has had nobody to throw to.
No, I think that's fair. So, I know you're in on Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
We'll get more into Cooper Kupp later on in the program. Circle back to it. Is Cooper Kupp enough of a move if he's the only, if he's, like, the big move at wide receiver?
Probably not. As much as I love the guy, I just don't think you can rely on him to play every game. That's his biggest knock. Like, you look back after his unbelievable season, best receiver season in the history of the NFL, capped off by Super Bowl MVP. Since then, he's just missed so many games, but the production is there. Like, when he's playing, he's still really good. Maybe not close to 2,000 yards type of season, but he's still easy a 1,000-yard receiver on average if he played the games. So if you bring him in, he, like, completely helps the room. He's a true professional and all that. But then, you know, how many games does he play? Plus, he's a lot older, so you want somebody to kind of line up a little bit more with Drake May. So you want to make another move, but you can because it's probably going to be like a fourth-round pick, maybe a third-round pick. So you'll still have your other picks to make moves. You'll still have, I would think, a good chunk of money to make moves.
Right.
And so, yeah, there should be another player to come in.
Higgins and Kupp, something like that.
Great.
I'd feel great about that. Or, I mean, I don't know that you're going to make two trades, but to play it out, Kupp and DK Metcalf, something like that. Like, all of a sudden you go, okay, that feels right.
Well, this is where
Kupp is such a reasonable acquisition cost. I think it'll be a day three pick. Maybe it's a third rounder.
Yep.
You got to pay him.
Yep.
But that's Kraft's problem. That's not my problem.
And he worked with Thomas Brown in the past. So, like, there is, like, some connection there. Like, maybe he could talk him into it because, you know, one thing we talked about with Kern, and it's obvious, like, the Patriots are not a destination. I completely understand that. But if you pay these guys, I think they'll come. I also think the Mike Vrabel-Drake May combo, even though they haven't played a game yet together, I think is a much easier sell than a lot of other, certainly four-win teams. Or any of the teams that missed the playoffs, if you're like, well, it's Vrabel and Drake May, look at where Drake May is sort of headed here. Plus, we'll pay you the money that you want to make. Maybe you could get Cooper Kupp. And I think the Myles Garrett thing is pretty unlikely. So you would still have your first-round pick, you'd still have your second-round pick, and you'd still have one of your third-round picks. So if you wanted to trade a two for, like, DK Metcalf, you could have your first-round pick, do whatever you want with that, and then trade for DK Metcalf and Cooper Kupp, kind of similar to 07 where they kept their first-round pick, but then they traded for Wes Welker and Randy Moss. And you'd be like, well, they had Tom Brady then. Yeah, fine. But they also got those guys. They were able to trade, but also still take a couple players in the draft.
It's worthwhile to double invest, whether it's the D-line like we were talking about, the O-line, wide receiver. I think there's a reason to do that, to really make sure you get one position right. Meanwhile, I think this is a fair text. How, after a 3-win season, Patriots won 4 games, Drake May won 3.
That one at the end still counts. They shouldn't have won it, and the Bills weren't trying.
None of us
still
wanted
counts.
Them to win it, but they did win it. The Patriots won 4. Drake May technically won 3, but it was one real win. How are you guys so confident you have your QB? I mean, I guess the jury still remains out. I feel pretty good about what he put on tape as a rookie. And when I say you have your quarterback, there's no question who the starter is week one. You're not bringing in another veteran to challenge. Like, when I say you have your quarterback, that's one position that you feel pretty good about. What is he in the league?
Yeah, I would say,
who knows?
It's the old, like, you can't argue with eye test, right? Because, like, your eye test is different than my eye test. So you could be like, well, I saw that he sucks. And I could be like, I saw that he was good. But I think that he was good. And also, when you factor in the coaching or lack thereof, the offensive line or lack thereof, the receiver, like, everything that he had working against him, and he still had that. I know he didn't have the wins, right? So you could argue me, like, oh, he didn't win any games. But just the way he looked on the field and some of the plays that he did make, despite really having like all these obstacles on his own team, let alone the opponents that he played each week, I'll take my chances. You know, I think he more than lived up to sort of the hype of being the number three pick.
And it's a good point by Dubs985 in the Twitch chat. They actually have two quarterbacks.
Oh, good point.
Is a good point.
So maybe Joe Milton. Yeah, maybe there is a competition.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We'll dig further into the wide receiver position. Cooper Kupp is availability. Is that worth it? And on the way next, Tuesday, 12:45, it's time for the Madness. Kiefer Madness.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe? Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe is a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
He takes the spleens and spreads their fat to get an average 6-month temperature and precipitation forecast.
Go back to the closet where no one knew where he was before.
And when you eat it, it, after a short spell, it acts like Viagra.
Regina.
All right, here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And we go across the pond, as they say, Jones.
Ah, really top of the ocean. Morning, Governor.
That's right. We're going to go to Britain.
I knew it.
Great Britain for this story. This story is all about revenge and how to get back at your enemies.
I like this.
I don't know if this is the best way to get back at your enemies, but it's certainly a way to get back at your enemies. Let's find out what's going on over there.
A woman from Wales is facing jail after bombarding her boyfriend's ex with videos of herself farting.
There's a lot in there.
Okay.
The accent's charming. A woman from Wales, which I guess falls under the Britain umbrella.
Yes.
I'm not super familiar with everything over there.
Well, it's the UK.
But it's like, is Great Britain in the Olympics or is England in the Olympics?
Great Britain is all four, right?
So are they
England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales.
But do they compete together or not? I feel like there's a Great Britain flag and then there's also an English flag. There's an Irish flag. There's Wales.
Yeah, how do they compete in the Olympics? I think they compete as individual countries.
I'm also very Scottish, which I didn't realize. I did one of those DNA tests.
Yeah.
Like chock full Irish, as you can imagine.
Change your whole outlook?
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. I'm starting wearing the kilts, bagpipes. Oh, it's maybe why I always like Korn. Band, not the food.
That must be it.
Because Jonathan Davis would just crush bagpipes. I always had an affinity for the bagpipes.
You even know.
It's probably the Scottish.
Turns out you couldn't even help your affinity for it.
Yep.
So you had no real say in the matter.
Irish, Scottish, French, German, maybe a couple of other, like a few other things. Maybe.
No Welsh over there.
Not that I know of.
Jones is big Welsh.
Yeah, you're a big Welsh guy.
I think Jones is big Welsh, yeah. Not just this Jones, all
Jones. Is a Welsh name?
I think so.
So like Pac-Man Jones, Welsh?
Correct. Okay. Yes, exactly.
Chris Jones, Welsh?
Very much so, yes.
Got it.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Something to watch
this
weekend.
I think that's the key.
So, yeah, so this lady was getting back at her, ex-boyfriend's current girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then she, again, had
by sending what again?
A woman from Wales is facing jail after bombarding her boyfriend's ex with videos of herself farting.
The British don't have a snappier name for farting?
Well, farting.
They have little nicknames for
everything. We'll get there, Jones. Don't worry.
Oh, okay, good.
They have other ways.
Oh, good.
So basically, she was like, I'm going to take videos of myself farting and then send them to her constantly.
She making like wild faces every time she's...
Well, we're going to find out.
Gas,
but
okay.
I'll tell you, not something I would have thought of.
No,
not at all.
I'd send an audio file.
That even being a thing.
I might have thought of audio file.
But isn't
video, I'm not sure I would have thought of, yeah.
I feel like the real burn, though, there would be the smell of it, which does not, we don't have the technology yet to pass the smell.
Not yet. Give AI some time.
Then she's on something.
Yeah,
I would say, you know what, you got this, you are doing the right
scratch
thing.
Scratch and sniff was so far ahead of its time, yeah.
Rhiannon Evans, 25, has appeared in court today to plead guilty to harassment in Britain's first ever cyber farting case.
The first ever. So we're on the ground floor.
Move
on
over, baby reindeer.
That's right. The cyber farting case.
Farting.
The cyber farting.
Mm-hmm.
She is accused of causing distress or anxiety to her boyfriend's ex after sending videos of herself passing wind.
There it is.
Passing wind.
It's a polite way to say it.
How much distress do you think that would cause? If somebody was sending you videos
of them. I'd be pretty distressed about it. If I was getting videos of people farting, I wouldn't love it.
You don't have to click on them and watch them all, do you? Yeah, I mean, there is a way.
I read all my emails.
I don't know about your phone, because you're the one guy in the group chat that doesn't have, you have an Android, but everybody else, you can block the caller pretty easily. It's like two clicks.
Yep.
So if I got even one video of somebody farting,
I'd give them an out. I'd say,
I would laugh at the first one. I'll admit, I would laugh.
I'd give them a second one.
Yeah, I would laugh.
Yeah.
But then I'm blocked.
Then blocked.
Dikembe Mutombo. Block party weekend.
Okay, yep. Nice.
The prosecution told the magistrates that in the first video she sent, she proceeds to pass gas by placing the camera on her bottom and passing the gas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
Filming the bottom, where again, the passing of the gas would take place.
So I would think if you were going to, I'd want to film the face that I was making, send that along.
I don't think you would.
No.
Yeah.
That's not very, very flattering, I don't think.
Just the face? Yeah, but I think you want to really send... It's like if you moon somebody. Like, that's... There's no coming back from a good mooning,
right? It's a bear bottom.
I would assume.
I don't know.
I think so.
Okay.
Isn't that, like, the ultimate? Like, there's no comeback from... Like, if you look over, like, hey, buddy! You look over and mooned you. You're like, okay. You're just going to pack it in for the day, I think.
Yeah, you lose.
Like, all right.
There's no comeback.
Better luck tomorrow
You've
for
been
me.
Mooned. Okay, so it's a bear bottom video.
Yeah.
Got it.
Passing gas. Yeah.
Over the next few days, another four videos were sent of the same nature.
The five videos, they kind of overplayed. Like, they didn't get bombarded. Five videos?
Five's a good amount.
It's a lot. I mean, it's...
You said you'd block after one, so
no,
five's,
I would
five's
laugh
a good amount.
The first one. Yeah, the second one would be like, all right, this wasn't a mistake.
So that feels like a bombardment.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah.
Showing Rhiannon passing wind and then showing her face smiling at the camera.
The face is important. I told
Satisfied
you.
Satisfied with
you
their need, work. So she's like, here this is. And then, oh, by the way, I'm having a good time.
Yeah, no, you need the face on there. I agree.
That makes it
good move by her.
To me, also, though, makes it more of a psychopath move.
Yeah.
It's already premeditated. That's not up for debate.
Yeah.
Because she took the video and had to send it to the number. But to show that and then to be like, how satisfied I am.
Yeah.
Psycho.
And you also, once your face is on there, I don't want to dabble in your side of the street tomorrow, Keith, with any defense, potentially.
You can change anything with computers.
once your face is in there, all of a sudden it's hard to be like, I got hacked, someone took my phone, someone else is sending
me. You're basically signing
Once you're putting yourself smiling on there, it's hard to wriggle out.
This is me.
Yeah.
Her tooting continued on Boxing Day and New Year's Day, despite police getting wind of what had happened.
Not bad.
That's not good. It's a good little.
So she was sending them on Boxing Day.
Oh.
That's. I mean, you should take Boxing Day off.
Yeah.
Right?
I think in Britain, you send that on Boxing Day, you get slapped with a white glove, I think what happened.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Rhiannon was arrested at her home in Carnarvon and will be sentenced this week.
She got arrested.
Boy, oh boy.
So
this is a good. This is how I thought they would talk. The Twitch chat has this right. Would you fancy an air biscuit? That's how I feel like they would talk there. I'm surprised they say farting so much.
I know.
She proceeds to pass gas by placing the camera on her bottom and passing the gas.
That's more it. That's closer to how I thought they talked over.
Causing distress or anxiety to her boyfriend's ex after sending videos of herself passing wind.
Got another text message from your ex-girlfriend. I'm like, oh God, what was it this time? Same.
You almost married her, right?
Same. How long were we guys together? Is that right?
You met her family? She met yours? You guys had a dog together? This is how you saw your life going?
Has appeared in court today to plead guilty to harassment in Britain's first ever cyber farting case.
Here you go. First of its kind.
Wow.
First of its kind.
So they didn't give us any audio. I kind of thought maybe they'd have a little audio.
Well, I can provide it for you. But no, she's going to be going. There could be a follow up story here
because
she's going to go to court. So we'll find out what kind of punishment she's going to get.
Got to play that in court.
Yeah.
Find out. Curious what the sketch artist
come up
has
with
from that trial. Yeah. Okay. That's Kiefer Madness.
That's right.
An international crime is what this was.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every week at 12:45 on Tuesdays. We'll get back to your phone calls.
I'm an old fart.
779-793.
I don't usually make rash decisions with coaches. I try to be reasonable. I understand what their livelihood is. I understand how much time they put into it. I've been around a lot of coaches. I understand how much work they put into this, especially NFL head coaches. But when you cannot function, when you're not functioning as a franchise.
There it is.
Francesa was sending that to his entire listening audience.
Uh-huh.
Is he at the Super Bowl? Is he there this week?
I don't know. I mean, he does have a podcast, right?
Yeah.
So maybe. Yeah.
We'll get back to the Patriots, though, with all your phone calls. Cooper Kupp, is he the right move for the Pats at wide receiver? We can get to that next.
When you cannot function